Hello, and welcome to the Empowerography Podcast. This is a platform created for women's voices to be heard and a place to share their stories, journeys, and successes with the world for the purpose of helping other women who might be on similar journeys. We are empowering women one episode at a time. I'm your host, Brad Walsh, so kick back, grab one of your favorite beverages, and enjoy the stories. The world needs to hear your message and your story, so don't deny the world of that gift within you that the universe has given you. Someone out there needs to hear your story because it will support them in feeling hope, inspired, and even transformed. Do you want to discover how I help get my clients out of their own way, show up, and confidently share their message? I would love to extend an invitation to you to join me in my free masterclass, Start Your Own Podcast from Idea to Implementation, on Wednesday, April 5th at 1 p.m. Eastern. You can find the registry link in the show notes. Hope to see you there. Hello there, Brad Walsh here, your host of the Empowerography Podcast. Today, my guest is Katharina Kunz. She is a health, fitness, well-being, personal growth guide and an author. Welcome, Katharina. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much for having me here.
It is my pleasure and my honor. Happy Tuesday. And thank you for taking and making the time to be here with me today. Share a little bit about the beautiful light you put out into the world through the work you're doing, a little bit about your story, your journey. I am so excited to have you here. So with that being said, let's jump right in. I love and I find it very interesting that you chose to use the word guide as opposed to coach. Was that a conscious decision for you? And if so, what was the logic behind or the thinking behind that decision? And why did you choose guide over coach?
Mm-hmm. Very good question. I have called myself a coach and I do call myself a coach from time to time. And what I'm finding about the word and words have meaning and the essence of guide versus coach. And there are times when I'm coaching and I see coaching more as tools and ways to be able to navigate the journey. And as a guide, I kind of feel like it's a bit more of, hey, I've been through my own. I've gone through some of those tough spots that you're going to meet. And I'm going to help guide you, shine light on, and help you to find your inner guidance to navigate so that it's lasting change, that it's embodied. It's not as much as a tool that you're implementing as much as it is a way of being that you're tapping into.
Yeah, you just embody that. It just becomes part of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what drives, motivates, and inspires you to keep going and excelling at all that you do?
I really think it comes down to curiosity. And there are always going to be moments and times where it feels insurmountable or it feels uncomfortable to the point of recognizing that sometimes a part of me needs to die for another part to emerge. And so oftentimes I am met with an old paradigm, an old perception of challenge that I'm transferring into the present moment. And that is another opportunity to shift and to grow. And for me, I love to not only explore who I am, but also what I am. And we are freaking amazing at what our embodiment, when we fully explore that embodiment, can.
Yeah. Love it. What inspired you to get into the world of health, nutrition, fitness, and well-being? And also, why did you decide to focus your energy and your business on helping to empower women? Did this journey begin with some of your own personal struggles?
Absolutely.
Of course it did.
It's really interesting. Like, I've always been a person, like, I sort of see we have four bodies, the mental, emotional, spiritual, physical body. The physical body has always been my avenue to access the other bodies. I'm very body aware. I've always been somewhat kind of focused on the body, and health is something that has always been a curious subject for me in the way of movement and in the way of nutrition originally, but then it shifted into not just how we think and how we move for total health. It's also how we perceive and how we think and how we feel and the whole gamut of how it
right.
part. So my first challenge in my body was anorexia. And my whole life, I sort of, as a child, I typically was on the opposite end. I was a bit skinny as a kid and until I hit puberty. And it was when I hit puberty that my experience was all of a sudden, all the male eyes were on me where they weren't. Like, I went away for summer, came back. 2 months later, I had kind of developed a little bit in a short period of time. And so the message that I got was, I'm only valuable for my body. And so right. I became even more body aware. And in that journey, I started to pick on myself and all those parts that weren't perfect. And anorexia was kind of that avenue. And so that really, I believe, became a driver for understanding as I was coming in and out of that. I was told that once you have an eating disorder, you always have an eating disorder. But I honestly don't believe that, because I don't have. I have a very healthy relationship with food. And really was the catalyst for that was a divorce. And in that, learning how to feel. I used to suppress all of my emotions. I hated feeling uncomfortable emotions. And so I would just suppress it with food. And then when I was in that place of control over not eating enough calories and starting to feel that I had control over what my body started to look like. But ultimately, what I learned was that was only a temporary control. And then in fact, yes. It was harming myself. It wasn't loving myself. And so learning how to feel effectively was a big part of no longer having to stuff down all of that emotion. And because I was anorexic, and then when I went into trying to integrate back, I couldn't throw up very easily. Otherwise, that likely would have been another option. And instead, I used to chew and spit and chew and spit. And then eventually I was like, that's ridiculous. And then I just started to this, if I ate, overate. But then I would be in that feeling of fullness. And that fullness was more familiar than the uncomfortable of the not knowing. And so that exploration of my own journey really led me into evolving as initially a personal trainer into comprehensive health coaching. And then that's really expanded into, I do what I call this arm of my business is called the Deep Ecology of the Feminine. Okay. And it's about really exploring the nature of what we are and how to integrate our experiences and honor the experiences, which is really what my book is about, which I'll talk about later. So yeah, it's kind of a long way to sort of
say. No, that's okay. It's your story. And that's all played a part in who you have become today. As a woman, as a coach, as a guide. So no, thank you for sharing that. Speaking of which, how have these experiences helped shape the Katharina you are today, both personally and professionally, would you say?
Yeah. Well, I really believe that whatever adversity that we're facing at the time is happening for us and not to us. And if I really believe that, right, then I really will open the perspective of, okay, what is the opportunity here? And so I believe that having an open mind, navigating the eating disorder, but you know, it turned into all these other, what I call chrysalis moments, these moments in our life that call us to go inside. And if we're willing to fall apart and get a little messy in that unbecoming, we can use that as alchemy for our next version of self. And so I really believe that coming through the relationship with food, of course, was a very transformational piece, but then it gave me the framework to go through infertility, to go through divorce, to go through a big move and leave of my career, to start again, to like all of these big chrysalis moments happening in a short period of time. And so resilience, I believe, is birthed from willingness.
That's a lot of change. Or as I was interviewing a woman yesterday, and she calls those little changes or those happenings relaunches in our lives. Mm. That's a lot of relaunches for you.
Yeah,
it's powerful. What was the biggest or most valuable takeaway from those experiences for you, would you say?
Most valuable experience?
Takeaway or lessons takeaway. From that, yeah.
Okay.
From those experiences, from all of them.
Is that not to be afraid of, I'm going to say death, but it's really change because of the same thing. And that it's in the fear of the unknown that is really holding me prison in what I'm going through. So in the experience of my physical body, instead of focusing on the freedom from what I don't want, freedom from the pain, the freedom from the hyper-focus on food, and the freedom from having to constantly make sure I'm working out enough or eating right, is that as I started to leave the vibrational energy of that and put myself more towards the freedom to what I want the freedom to experience. I want the freedom in my body. I have a membership called the Body Freedom Membership.
Yeah.
It's about exploring that freedom that I can feel at home in my body, whatever age. And the funny thing is that as I started to put my energy and direction there, everything just fell into place. Like I eat what I want when I want. Do I want to eat Doritos? And no, I don't. Right? I really don't. I eat well, but I don't fret. about.
Yeah.
Enjoy all of the experiences that life has to offer. And I don't need to like over exercise or like, my workouts for the last, well, probably at least 15 years and more have been 20 minute workouts 3 times a week.
Yeah.
And I got better results because I was more effective in my ability to put my whole focus there. My mind, my body, my everything, putting it into the movement, breathing it through my body. And so as I let go and let go of the need for control and step into that place of wonderment and curiosity and start to put into that freedom too, that's really been a big way that I navigate my life now.
Well, moderation is the key to everything. I mean, you can have the Doritos, just don't sit on the couch and eat a whole fucking bag in one sitting, right?
Totally.
But we're told and conditioned to believe that, no, you can't have your, you need to eat healthy. You can't have any of that stuff. And that's not true.
No, absolutely not. And people sometimes are scared to invite me for dinner or they have a perception that, oh my God, she's
What are we going to make Katharina for dinner? She's coming, so we can't have this, we can't have that.
Right? And it's, no, I'm a foodie. I love food. Bring it on.
You know,
it all needs to be enjoyed. Even the word balance, everyone's like, everything in balance.
And, yeah.
You know, I get the meaning behind that and what the intention is for that. But really, in my opinion, I feel like balance breeds mediocrity. Because if we're constantly always trying to keep all of the areas in check, sometimes we need to dive into an aspect of our life. It might be relationship. It might be financial. It might be spiritual. Because that part of our experience is suffering. And we need to dive into it. And something else needs to give.
For sure. Katharina, your approach encompasses health, fitness, well-being, and personal growth. How do these elements interconnect? And why is the holistic approach crucial for overall thriving?
Very good question. Well, I have been a personal trainer for 27 or 28 years. And in that initial exploration, and even though I had been working out in the gym since I was 16 and knowing that having a healthy body requires great nutrition and movement and tweaking all of those things can create different results. But for me, what I recognized in my late 20s is that even though I was doing all of those things, I was eating well and moving well, I wasn't thinking well and feeling well. And my perceptions and all of the inner world stuff is so essential to the whole experience of health. And so as I began to dive into my inner world and starting to explore the ways that I'm holding myself back and how that was manifesting as dis-ease in my body. And so the feeling, even though I looked well, I felt anxious. I had bloating and distension and constipation and just really not feeling vital. And so then as I started to explore more of those inner worlds of my emotionality and how I'm thinking, I started to integrate that more into how I was facilitating with my clients. Through vulnerability and authentic expression, really, I believe that opened the doorway for a lot of my clients too. And so as my business evolved, I also evolved that to encompass more for my clients. And so really offering a more comprehensive experience.
Beautiful. Now, the mind-body connection is central to well-being. So how do you guide individuals in cultivating a strong mind-body connection in their health and fitness journey?
Good question. Really through helping them to open that through curiosity and wonderment first, coming into this state of grace, extending the grace inward, and what I call reperspective meditation. So when I work with somebody, regardless if it's a fitness session or we're doing comprehensive health coaching or we're doing a ritual embodiment, or I have packages where I offer kind of a taste of everything so that really understanding that. So reperspectiving is, it's a word that I created. Really, it's like inviting in a whole new lens through which you can view your life. But on top of that, you're also embodying the vibrational experience of that so that it's this visceral experience that you've felt and know to be real because you felt it. It's not just like an affirmation where it's I am, you're just using vocal repetition. Whereas this is using the breath as the vehicle to go inward, to expand the perspective, to feel a new way of experiencing something in your body and feeling it flush through as a visceral embodiment. And then being able to tap into that vibration as a future experience. And so how do I continue aligning with that vibration? So how do I start moving and acting and thinking and watching and talking as if I'm already there? and start to work backwards that way. So yeah, the visceral embodiment experiences or re-perspectiving is really one of the ways I support my clients to actually open that door for themselves.
Re-perspectiving. I love it. Now, of course, nutrition obviously plays a vital role. How do you educate and guide individuals in establishing a nutritional foundation that supports both fitness goals and overall well-being?
Very good question too. With that, really, when I sit down with anybody, I do a very comprehensive questionnaire to really get a sense of what is going on symptomatically and what are the correlations between all of the things that are going on and experiences that they've had in their time frame of life to help to navigate ways to bring more harmony, especially into the digestive system. So it's not about diet and deprivation. I do everything I can to get away from restriction and diet deprivation. There are times when somebody has some really critical health stuff showing up that there needs to be a level of restriction in the beginning. But the whole premise is about what I call in my Body Freedom membership, I have a section that is called nutritional roadmap. So it's these different areas where it'd be like proteins, complex carbs, vegetables, fruits, and all the accompaniments, all the things that make the food taste amazing.
Yeah.
And they don't really fall under just a protein. They're like a combination thing. And then giving them a framework of, okay, well, you want to have a group A in every single meal, which is your protein. So it's giving them a guide that they can use and pick and choose, but it's not counting calories. It's not this restrictive, this is how it has to be. And so they start to appreciate food as fuel and also as enjoyment, as pleasure. And yeah, as women, I work with men and women, but the arm of my business that is just for women is because I know the challenges I've had, but I also know the challenges that a lot of my women clients have. And they often, that restriction is so embedded because it's, look, if I want to make changes, I have to work out more and I have to eat less. Mm. And that just sets up a whole cascade of our fight and flight within our body and, oh, I'm not going to be fed for a while. And it just messes our metabolism. So I don't mess with a good thing. I have a great metabolism. And so I don't partake in a lot of the trends out there, just really helping people to find enjoyment and pleasure and feel good in their body.
Yeah, because if you start stepping into that whole restrictiveness place, it's going to cause resistance. People aren't going to want to do it. Then they're bumping up against all of these things in their minds and it's going to be a chore and they're not going to want to do the things that are necessary to get done to get to that next level. Yeah. So the restrictiveness doesn't help, it hinders.
No. No, look, 80-20 is always a great thing. And I've never been a fan of eat super clean for 5 days and then pig out for a day or two. This, to me, doesn't work. But I like the 80-20 in a day-to-day. I eat dark chocolate. I eat as much dark chocolate as I want. And sometimes I want to eat more than other times. But it's like this, it's, there's no restriction. But there's also, it's something that is also supportive of my health. And it's just pleasure.
Now, keeping with this theme of nutrition is a field that's obviously continually evolving with new research and trends, as you just talked about, the trends emerging all the time. How do you navigate this ever-changing landscape to provide accurate and up-to-date advice to all your clients?
Yes. Well, I do, of course, explore all of the things that are coming up, what is beneficial about them and what are the challenges about them. Now, everybody is bio-individual, so everybody is going to respond differently to any diet. And what might be my medicine might be your poison and vice versa. Yeah. And so when I'm taking any approach, especially if there's inflammation in the body, we need to get the body back into a state of harmony and being able to assimilate and being able, like if that looks like a bit of restriction, like I said, I'll use different philosophies, sometimes a keto blended with maybe there's a GAPS diet or something that's really going to help to heal the gut to be able to allow for assimilation. Maybe there's some blood sugar imbalance. Maybe there's adrenals that need support, hormones. All of those pieces are going to require a different way of eating. If your thyroid is challenged, you don't want to cut out carbs completely. There's so many different things to look at that just jumping on a certain bandwagon and not really looking at your whole constitution, you can actually set yourself up worse. And if you're somebody that really has struggled with weight up and down fluctuations, continuing to barrage it with all these restrictions, it just puts up the defense and your body is going to respond and likely not in our favor.
Yeah, for sure. Stress management, of course, is also a big part of this and plays a big part. It's very crucial for well-being. How do you teach how do you teach your clients to manage stress mindfully? And what role does stress play in overall health?
Yeah, right? Such a big role. And I know for myself, We all know what stress feels like in different capacities. Sometimes it's like resistance in the body. Sometimes it feels like heart palpitations. I'm not digesting. That can sometimes happen for me. I don't even want to eat. It's not even all of my energy is being put towards the fight or flight response. And so what was the question again?
Stress management.
Stress management, thank you. Yeah. Yes. So breath is always a really big one that I use as a way of really being able to move the energy and then also being able to identify what I'm feeling. So if I really get them to feel, to breathe, to bring themselves into the experience of what it is that they're having resistance with, and then labeling that as 7, that's an 8 or whatever that is, it feels like a sensation within a body part, right? It feels heaviness in my solar plexus, or it feels like burning. And then we can start to breathe and bring in some other perspective to be able to diffuse the intensity of it. And then I can look at it from a different way and go, oh, I didn't see it that way. Oh, I didn't see it that way. And so stress, to be able to label it and to recognize that there's positive stress and not so positive stress, but how do we not let our body respond? Because our body's going to, our parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system, right? We want to bring it into parasympathetic as much as we can so that we can digest well, so that we can allow those endorphins to really lead us and to feel more vital.
Physical and mental fitness are interconnected, of course. How do you address the psychological aspects of fitness, and how does mental fitness contribute to achieving physical goals?
Well, that is where I kind of also include imagination. And so that's where that imagined self, being able to bring myself into a space and a state that starts to flood those mental endorphins. And so recognizing that there's a mindset and a heart set. They are interconnected, and that mindset, and this is where I've really spoken words to help women or my clients to really shift, but this is a little bit more of a feminine approach, I guess. So we need discipline as a tool to help us to create consistency. But I find that discipline alone is more of a masculine approach. And we live in a very masculine world. We have, and whether you're male or female, you have masculine and feminine qualities within. So some of us have some more than the others or utilize in different situations than others. But what I find and found for myself to be a real missing link and a helpful component of that is bringing in the idea of self-devotion. That through devotion to the version of myself that I'm wanting to become, I am willing to be consistent with this that I'm doing or that I'm doing, right? So that it's no longer this forcing out of discipline. And the discipline challenge too is if it's discipline alone and we stop or we see that as failure, I fail, I suck again, blah, 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 right? Whereas when devotion feels more like grace, it feels more like this place of an ebb and a flow within that. And so, that would be one of the ways to approach that.
Now, of course, comparison plays into this mindset. Mm-hmm. As they say, it's the thief of joy and can be a challenge to deal with and overcome. So how do you help individuals navigate the pitfalls of comparison?
Yes. And that's comparison, yes, with others and with self, a version of self that we were once. And comparing ourselves to others, it's really a waste of energy because we don't know the whole experience of another person. Like a lot of people will look at me and they'll say, because I support women in helping them navigate body shame. I have a whole program. It's called 9 Weeks to Sexy. And it's all about navigating body shame. And people look at me and they're like, what do you know about body shame? And it's body shame doesn't discriminate, right? It doesn't look like a thing. It doesn't look like I have to be overweight. It could be just, I really loathe this part of myself.
Yeah.
And so really it's this place of shifting perspective. And for me, comparison feels like perfection a little bit. And until I reach that, I'll continue to find that comparison that is perfect for me to achieve. And I'll never be able to achieve it. So for me, that is like perfection. And perfection is an infection. And it continually infiltrates our capacity and ability for joy. So I find comparison not even a motivator that is healthy. I find comparison a sucker of joy and putting that energy towards something more productive.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you mentioned body shame, and of course, body image concerns can impact well-being. And How do you address those concerns with individuals? And how does fostering a positive body image contribute to overall health?
So again, we free ourselves up. We all know what it feels like to experience something that is blissful or euphoric, or what I like to call the afterglow. That's my word for the year, by the way. I just really want to, rather than achieve something, is I'll just be in the afterglow of the experience of arriving. To just continually arrive. And that vibrational energy, when we're not in that place of comparison, in that place of I'm not enough, in that place of struggle and strife, we can direct that to the freedom too. It comes back to that freedom from and freedom to.
Yeah.
And so having that positive body image to recognize that your whole life has taken you to here to now. All of the experiences, all of the challenge, all of the tribulations, all of, we don't get to just beat ourselves up for the shit that has happened in our life.
Yeah.
If we're going to do that, then we also have to give praise for the parts of our life that have been also really
for sure
well for us. Yeah. And so for that positive mindset is to give that grace within, to extend that to ourselves and to foster a new avenue through which to, again, come back to that curiosity, right? It's, wow, if I could come to this place of like, wow, I am amazing. I am freaking amazing. Look at how my body knows just what to do. I don't have to think about breathing. Nobody ever gets to be the embodiment of this version of human. No one has, no one is, no one ever will get to be Katharina. So if I can start to put on that lens more and more of wow, and start to, okay, well, if I'm not going to be inhibited anymore by comparison and by self-judgment, then wow, what am I made of? What is Katharina capable of?
For sure.
So for each of us to have that.
Now, of course, obviously there is this common thread through all of this, and that is, and it's a foundational piece that ties all of it together, and that's self-love. We are the foundation for everything. Yeah. So obviously you are a huge advocate for self-love, body positivity or acceptance, women's empowerment. Can you speak a little bit about what those things mean to you on a personal level?
Yeah. So yeah, body image, body positivity, coming into the place of self-love is, it's a choice. And even if we don't feel like we can step quite into it, it's too big of a step to go from, it doesn't even have to be hatred, but going into some kind of self-shame in some way and taking that step into self-love, it can be even a re-perspectiving experience of, can I just let it all go for just 30 seconds. Can I just allow myself to feel the flooding of love for myself? I can always go back to what I was feeling 30 seconds prior, but can I just take it all off for a second just to feel what that is? And in that feeling of that, in that space of it, we may just continue to allow that flooding to happen, or we may allow it to trickle and to continue a trickling in. And however that shows up, that as is the willingness to extend that love to ourselves, just opening the door, just open the door and let it trickle or let it flood.
What lights you up or excites you the most about the work you do?
I'd have to say the aha experiences when I'm sharing something with a client or we're going through an exploration together, and it's never what I think it's going to be. I've had my own ahas and my own, and when I learn them and I go to share them, and sometimes they're not the big ahas for other people. I always find it fascinating when I'm finished to talk and what people have gleaned. And so that to me, because then I also learn a new perspective, a new experience, because it's a growing and learning. It's not just me helping somebody. It's this feedback of really being in the energy of support, love, and transformation.
Now, on the flip side of that coin, what would you say is one of the most challenging parts of the work you do?
I find the most challenging part would be navigating the self-responsibility piece, that it doesn't matter how much support I can partake, give, and share, that ultimately it's up to them to do it. And so that is sometimes the challenging part, is to witness people in their unwillingness and to just allow it to be that way. Because if they're not ready, they're not ready.
Yeah, that's, you can't force them.
Yeah.
They have to be willing and want to do the work.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Let's speak a little bit about your author journey.
Yeah.
As mentioned. Mm-hmm. I would love for you to share with us a little bit about the book that you've written. Yeah. Can you share with us the title, the subject matter, what the experience was like for you sharing that and getting that story out into the world?
Well, here it is. The Butterfly Project, the mm-hmm. Alchemy of Unbecoming. And this is a birthing of a piece of me and a big part of what ties the physical and the way that I support through fitness and nutrition and health coaching into the realm of the whole integrated self. Right. So this dives more into the internal realm. And it's the idea that we have all these moments in our life, what I call chrysalis moments. So sometimes they're the small things. Mm-hmm. It can be just this inner calling, or there's this like anxiousness. Is there more to life? But it obviously is also the deaths and the divorces and the relationship breakdown and the health scares and all of the things. And how do we come to a place first of honoring? So there's four sections to the book. There's honoring, okay, and becoming, embodying, and emerging. And so as a caterpillar becomes a butterfly, that chrysalis, this opportunity to consciously unbecome, so that we can use, and in that is the honoring of all of those experiences, being able to re-perspective it, to look at it from different angles, to be able to then now in that alchemy, to be able to use that into the embodiment of self I want to be as I then emerge into the world. And as we go through life, we're going to continue to have chrysalis moments. It's not about being able to just numb it out or to be able to just like la through the whole thing. It's also being able to, when I meet a chrysalis moment, can I bring the version of myself that I want to have this experience through? And this is where I'm at in the whole journey of it. And so writing it has been a profound experience of allowing that to flow. And I had a great editor as well, and my publisher who also created the photo in the front, but my editor, and it's like writing a book again, when you edit your book, it's just like, yeah, it's be done yet. And almost at the bottom of the book and the end of the conclusion, yeah, in the side, I see, cause we're writing back and forth through Google Docs,
right,
and making corrections. And she says, this is the most beautifully written, lovingly crafted book that I have ever read. And I read more than 300 books a year. So wow. I was just like, oh, okay. 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 So I'm like, okay. So really putting, because there's also experiences within it. It's not really a book. It's an experience, and really helping to navigate that, all of those parts of our journey and tools to be able to do that. Reperspectiving. I have a ritual kit. I have an online program that's in the works right now that goes with it. So really putting the energy into that. And I call myself the one-stop body shop, because this really tackles some of that emotional, mental world.
Yeah.
And I also work with obviously the physical and the spiritual realm that kind of interweaves that. So this is that baby that really kind of speaks to that inner world. And so that's nice to have as a tool that is tangible and can give in that way.
Beautiful. What an incredible compliment.
And feathering, yeah, I know, your cap. I know.
That's,
oh my gosh,
powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Who in your life has had the biggest impact on you, and why?
I have to say my husband. He's always been a very different man. And he lives in a way that used to a little bit kind of scare me. Because I didn't totally understand it, but was inspired by it. And we went through our own breakdown at some point in our journey. And my willingness to let go of my perceptions and really embrace his lens that he mostly kind of explores through. He doesn't just have one lens, but how he navigates and sees the world has shifted how I see the world and how I see myself, and has been a big part of that inner transformation, I'd say.
What do you think your unique skill set or superpower is that's helped you become successful?
Skill set, superpower. I would say my willingness to be raw and vulnerable.
Now, speaking of success, how do you define that word? What does the word success mean to you?
Success to me means waking up in the morning feeling alive and going to bed at night feeling grateful.
Love it. What would you say is one of the most important things you've learned in your life? And what was your life like before you learned it? What was your life like after you learned it?
I'm really going to come back to the statement on grace. It was literally 3 years ago, and I was standing in my garden, and I was having a thought. I don't know about what, but I just thought, what if I gave myself the grace that I give everybody else? What if I did that? What if I just chose to do that? And it changed so much. Because I'd find myself coming into an inner dialogue of some type, a voice coming in at some point that wanted to say something about what I said or didn't do enough of or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, no. And literally, no, it's gone, right? I would say that would be a very simple but profound
absolutely
embodiment.
What does the word empowerment mean to you?
Empowerment means living unapologetically, willing to be vulnerable, meaning that I don't need to be perceived as having it all figured out. That I can allow, empowerment is allowing all the parts of self to be expressed. That I don't need to fit in a box. I have many sides to Katharina. I have the hippie Katharina and the glamour Katharina and the dorky Katharina and the, right? So just,
multifaceted. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. Okay, we're going to jump into a little rapid fire section here. So the next grouping of questions just be 1, 2, 3 forward answer type thing. Okay. How would you describe yourself in one word?
Fierce.
If you could teach the world one thing, what would it be?
Potency.
If you could be remembered for one thing, what would that be?
Love.
What is your favorite stress reducing activity?
Sauna.
What is one thing you love about yourself that is not related to your physical appearance?
My desire for quest.
If you came with a warning label, what would yours say?
Go deep or go home.
And that concludes our rapid fire section. Now back to our regularly scheduled program. What challenge in your life would you say has shaped you the most?
It's a chapter in my book called In the Twinkle of an Eye. And it was a simultaneous cancer scare and fertility journey. And navigating that whole, those two things together dramatically changed what I think is possible in not having to have trauma dictate and infect my world, but rather come again into that place of wonderment and awe.
What is one lesson that your career has taught you that you think everybody should learn at some point in their life?
That there's no failure, that being able to step into uncertainty with a willingness, you will always find yourself free to achieve, free to experience.
If you could step into my shoes, what question would you have asked yourself that I didn't ask you?
You asked me a lot of questions.
I did.
I'd say the question would be, what offering would you give to my listeners?
Okay, there you go.
And this just popped into my head. Mm-hmm. And I didn't create a specific offering for your audience because I want this to be an invitation to connect with me and set up a little strategy session to see where you might need a little bit of support in your mental, emotional, spiritual, or physical avenue of life. So on my website, I do have a free ebook, and I also have Contact Me. So the ebook is a way to support you in feeling more vital, healthy, and 3 keys to feeling more optimal health, vitality, and body freedom is what it's called. And then if you reach out to me through my contact, I'd love to, if you have a question or you have, I have many offerings, but I really want you to feel supported as a listener in a way that we can spend a little bit of time to explore.
We will put the
not
links.
Not to say we're going to ask you that question, but.
We'll put all of your links into the show notes when we release your episode. If you had the opportunity to sit down and have a 1-hour conversation with one woman, any woman in the world, who would it be and why?
It would be my grandmother, my Oma Katharina, who I never met and I was named after. And my mom is one of the most feisty and fierce women I know. And I'm going to cry.
It's okay.
She's been through a lot in her life, and she's been a huge inspiration for me. So I'd love to meet the woman who birthed her and who I share a name with and who I'm part of.
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. If you could go back and give your younger self one piece of advice, what would that piece of advice be?
Just keep being you, girl, and go for it.
Love it. Lastly, if you were to deliver your last 30-second speech to the world, your tribe, your people, your corner of the world, what would that last 30 seconds sound like? What words of wisdom would you impart?
I may have said some of it already. However, whatever it is that you are challenged with in life right now, whatever that might be, that it is meeting you to help to form, to invite. It's an invitation to explore a part of yourself that you haven't yet. And that is why we're here. That is why we're here. And the more that we can get to know ourselves and to explore ourselves on all these different levels, the more that we have to offer in this world and the more of ourselves that we get to share and gift, that we are this gift to be unpacked unraveled and to blossom in this world and get curious about what you are and revel in the wonderment of it.
Katharina, thank you so much for taking and making the time to be here with me today and for sharing a little bit about your story, your journey, and the beautiful light you put out into the world through your work you do. It has been an absolute pleasure and honor having the opportunity to sit down and speak with you. I am so grateful to be connected to you and to have you as a member of the Empowerography community.
Thank you so much. Thank you also, listeners who decided to tune in. And what a joy and so fun to connect in this way with you, Brad. And thank you for doing what you do in this world.
It's my pleasure and my honor. Once again, my guest has been Katharina Kunz. She is a health, fitness, well-being, and personal growth guide and an author. Have a beautiful rest of your day, Katharina.
Thank you. You as well.
Thank you very much for listening to this podcast. If you haven't yet, please be sure to subscribe, rate, review, and share with all your friends. You can find me at visiophoria.ca and follow me on Instagram at Empowerography Podcast and on Facebook at Empowerography. Please join me next time for another inspirational story from yet another amazing woman.